Welcome to Bible Greek VPod's audio program. Join us as we look at 1 Samuel.
Father God, thank you for this day, and we ask that you would be with us as we look into this story today. And so help us in this message. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We are in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 4. So Samuel is now a prophet priest. Really, he's functioning like a judge later, but right now he's a prophet priest. But we can come to chapter 4, and Samuel is established as a prophet. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped at Aphek. So, the Philistines were making their way across the lowlands. And so the Philistines are making their way across the lowlands to the hill country. So Israel responds. Now, Israel encamps here, we find at Ebenezer. And you see that in your handout, some of these words are translated. That means stone of help. And in the Philistines, they're encamped at Aphek, which means fortress or enclosure. So the Philistines, they were the sea peoples, and most would say the sea people came from Crete, and they settled on the southern sea coast. Look at your map on the back of your handout. Let's get our bearings a little bit. You see on the first map, it's very small, but we have all the tribes. Here's what's happening in the land at that day. They have all the tribes in their tribal allotment. The Philistines are down in the south where Simeon is, where Judah is, and Dan is. And you see that on the second map, kind of. You see how they kind of overlap Dan and Judah for the most part. And so that is what's going on in the land. Those folks who are down in those areas have been conquered. They've been taken over by the Philistines. And so that's what's going on. The sea peoples have come. Look at verse 2 of chapter 4. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. So here are 4,000 Israelites. They die in this first battle. Look at verse 3. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So they want to return to the day of Joshua, where the Ark of the Covenant is out in front. And you can understand that. The Lord is fighting for them. That's where they want to be. Especially they went out on this battle and they lose the first battle. And a lot of death there. But the problem is that they hadn't heard from a word of God for a while now. That's a big problem. And really until Samuel... one day heard from the word from the Lord. But the word Samuel heard was judgment. It wasn't a very encouraging word that Samuel got. So it was judgment on Eli and his house. And that's what we're about to see, judgment on Eli and his house. Look at verse 4. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. So they sent for a group to retrieve the Ark. And Shiloh is about 20 miles away. So they bring the Ark. Look at verse 5. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly, look at this, that the earth shook. It shook. They're so excited and confident that the earth and shook is in the Hebrew. It roared or it rang. And then verse 6, now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout. They said, "What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. Uh-oh. Verse 7, so the Philistines were afraid. For they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods," plural. Some of your translation have capital G gods, but it's little gods. "These are the gods who struck the Egyptians." Look at this. They know the history. They know this. "These are the gods who struck the Egyptians and all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you." Oh, wow. "Conduct yourselves like men and fight." So the Philistines have taken the lowlands of Dan and Judah, and they've enslaved those who remain in that territory that they took it over. But they've heard the great Egyptian victory and all of that that goes with Israel. And they're a little bit on the they're scared. They've heard the chronicles of the Ark as Joshua has had conquered the land. They know these chronicles of the Ark of the Covenant, and they're afraid. So the Philistine leadership commands all the men in the Hebrew, it's be men. It's men, be men. That's what it says. The English translation smooths that out a little bit. Conduct yourselves like men. Be men. Be a man is what he says. Look at verse 10. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. Ooh. And every man fled to his tent. There was a great, very great slaughter. And there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Man, what a disaster. Also, the Ark of the God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Man, so the Philistines killed 30,000 men. That's a pretty big slaughter. And they capture the Ark, and they kill the two sons of Eli, so the judgment that was prophesied really two chapters ago with Hannah's great prayer, and then as it followed into chapter 3 and reiterated that judgment on the house of Eli was executed, prophecy was satisfied. Now look at the death of Eli in verse 12. Then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. Now when he came, there was Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside, watching for his heart trembled for the Ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. So they get word, and the city's pretty upset about this. Verse 14. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the sound of this tumult mean?" And the man came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. So we opened last time, chapter 3, with the dim lights, and his eyes could hardly see. That metaphor of him getting old and his days coming to an end. And now the lights are coming really to an end now. He can barely see. He's an old, old man. So verse 16, then the man said to Eli, "I am he who came from the battle. And I fled today from the battle line." And he said, "What happened, my son?" So the messenger answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured." Apparently, the two carried and were with the ark all the way down into battle. And of course they're killed and the ark captured. Verse 18, then it happened when he made mention of the ark of God that Eli fell, look at this, off the seat backwards by the side of the gate. So he's in the gate as acting as judge. And his neck was broken and he died. Look at this. There's a reason. For the man was old and heavy. He's a fat man. And he had judged Israel for 40 years. We came through the book of Judges, and that's how all the judges ended. They gave with the time of their judgment, judging. He judged Israel for 40 years. So what a story. So Eli lived a long life. He's 98 years old, but he's a fat man. And maybe because he was eating all that, all the beef that the kids were telling him they had to give us the best meat, and with the fat on it, and that, you know, not to be done. So, but he served as judge, and he dies here, hearing this story, and that's satisfaction of that prophecy against the house of Eli. Look at Ichabod. Here's the story of Ichabod. Verse 19. Now his daughter-in-law, Pinhas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth. And her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, man, dying in labor. The woman who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. It's a strange statement here. She did not regard it means literally set not her heart. Her heart wasn't in it. She did not regard it. That's the best this translated. Some of your other translations may be better, but her heart wasn't in it, is the literal words there. Verse 21, then she named the child Ichabod. Ichabod means no glory. No glory. Saying, the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God has been captured and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. So you get by this gal, this lady's birth, and her great depression that she has experienced here, that Israel's glory is fading. And that as the Philistines have taken Judah and Dan and Simeon, some of that area, and they're way up. Look at this. If you look at that map on the back where the capture of the ark is, you see where their camps are. They started out here at Ebenezer, and the Philistines are on the border of their land, which they control, Aphek, and they capture the ark, and then Shiloh is about 20 miles away. But that's a kind of a picture of, well, are we losing our land? Are the Philistines so strong that now they're going to take all the land that we had captured? And God is no longer with us. And that's what they think by that ark being captured. God is no longer with us. But God is never going to leave Israel. That was his promise. And Genesis chapter 12, Abrahamic promise. And that they will possess this land forever as an everlasting possession, and they had this land. They captured the land, and it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess throughout 1 Samuel, and most of 2 Samuel until David comes along and recaptures a bunch of this area. Well, let's close with a word of prayer then. Father God, thank you for your word and this story. And as we get into these stories, it is a message about trusting in you and that you are ultimately in control, always in control, even in this situation. Even though it looked like defeat, it was defeat because of a prophecy that they would, that House of Eli would be judged, and you judged them. And that's life with you. That obedience is a blessing, and disobedience is, well, it's a curse. Always, Lord. So thank you for your word and for saving us, sending your son to die for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.